Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Wow. Are you excited to be here tonight? Are you excited to be here tonight? All right, let's pray. You're excited, you smile, you know. If you don't smile, it means you're not excited. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy towards us. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house, oh God. And thank you for your presence in this place. I pray that, Lord, you speak to us. You affect our lives. You keep our minds on the right things. And our lives will never be the same again. Thank you, Father, for a blessed time here tonight in Jesus' name. And somebody said amen. Amen. You may be seated, please. In the presence of the Lord. Thank you for all the Father's Day niceties you bestowed upon my life. I am very grateful. I felt like it was my birthday. I had to fix myself and my mind. I have two birthdays. What? I'm very blessed. Amen. We're talking about heaven. Andre! Do you speak Dutch now? Heaven is a title, is a subject we're dealing with currently. And we started off last week by, you know, coming to terms with the fact that heaven is a subject that we don't normally hear. Because when you talk about heaven, it almost seems as if you want people to die. Because who wants to go to heaven when we want things to happen to us here on earth? Now, hey, Wayne is also back. Did you and Andre sit in the same bus from Paramaribo? Did you meet? You didn't meet. Wayne, you all right? You're looking good. Suriname, good for you. Nice. So we're saying that heaven is a subject that we hardly hear about, which is very, very unfortunate. Because Jesus didn't even want Mary to touch him because he was yet to go to heaven and return. So when Mary realized that it was Rabboni who called her name at the tomb, then Jesus told Mary, don't touch me. I have not shown myself to my Father. Is a place where God is. And it's a place where he wants all his children to be. Every parent wants their children, at least their underage children, to be with them. Of course, if you are over age, then you go away and live your life. Even if you are not over age, you behave like you're over age, then we want you to go out also. Yeah. And then if you're over age and you're not prepared to go, then when you are staying there, then you keep your mouth shut. Because two big women cannot be in the same house. Two big men cannot be in the same house. So for those of you who don't know that two captains cannot be on a ship, on a plane, if you are big, then move out. If you know you can't move out, then shut your buccal cavity and stay there and do the chores and respect the rules there. Now, when we say move out, we're not saying go and be by a bye or banner. You must move out, go and rent your place and pay your own light bill. See how it is to go to GPL and get a meter or thief light and see the consequences of thieving light. Are you with me? So, every parent, and God is also such a parent who wants all his children. Now you have to understand that for us and God, the relationship between us and God is a relationship that, in a sense, the children have left home. The children are lost. You see, so he is looking to find the children. And when he finds one, then he asks that one, he finds Brian. He said, Brian, have you seen Prince? I said, yes, Prince, I've seen him. But he, you know, when he sees me, he's trying to hide. So please get Prince to also come home. So that as we get saved, then we also become vehicles of change for others. Then God has purpose in his heart that one day, once we are all gathered, he will come for all of us. He doesn't want to come for some and leave some. But he has promised us and he's prepared a place for us. And that place is what he wants us to, you know, have in, at the back of our minds. I'm sure if many of us were to, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit was telling me that if many of us were to even have heaven in our minds a lot, we will even end up becoming blessed here on earth. Because when you're focused too much on something, you don't get it. Yeah. You can even think about pregnancy when you are married. And you think about pregnancy. Sometimes when you are married, it's very, very difficult to get pregnant. When you are not married, oh, yeah. One touch. Yeah. One touch. When you are not married, oh, everything happens. That's why sometimes people say, oh, when I was not a Christian, things used to go well for me. What do you mean by well? What is your definition of things going well? That when you become a Christian, the things change. And when you also marry, things change. Because when you marry, you're actually trying to tell the devil that you like to please God and do things the right way. So always things changes when you begin to do things right. But your ability to stay on course is what really makes you the type of person you are. Are you with me? So in Proverbs, or is it Psalms or Proverbs? One of them, Psalm 137. Psalm 137. We're talking about heaven. Yeah. So it's sad that, you know what, the prodigal son, in all his struggles, he wanted to go back home. We are saved, and we want to remain here. Psalm 137, do we have something like that? Is there anything like Psalm 137 in the Bible? Do we have that? Okay. So the prodigal son wanted to go back home. Whereas you and I, he wants to build mansions here. We want to stay here. We want to remain here. We are so concerned about here. How we will be happy here. How we will be satisfied here. How we will have peace here. But this is not a place where God dwells. So this is kind of a temporal residence for us. Now, if you are a temporal resident or you don't have staying permit in the place, there's a way you live your life, oh. I remember when I went to see the then Minister of Home Affairs, Honorable Clement Rohi. I went for an extension of my work permit. And then he gave me a very cold reception. I mean, I needed to go because I'd been invited to Accra for a very important meeting. And my permit was expiring in a period that I'll be away. So I went for a very emergency request for it to be renewed before I leave. So that's what made me go and meet him. And it was this time, Friday mornings, when he used to meet the public. So he sits in the room, and there's about 10 people around him. But nobody speaks except him. When you enter the room, the place is quiet. Everybody is almost as nobody can move. Then he tells you, "What can I do for you?" With a very straight face. You can't be intimidated. So I told him my business. Then he told me, he asked me whether I'm training people in the church. I said, "Oh, yes, I'm training people." He said, "Yeah, you have to, because you won't be here forever." Hey! The guy made my heart skip a beat. I said, "What is this guy trying to say?" I said in my head, "But you also will not be here forever." And it's true, because he's not there forever. But I'm still here doing what I'm doing. Yeah. Go and bite me yet. I don't get bite too. But you see, he was able to, kind of wanted to intimidate me, and he was able to, kind of touch my nerves a little bit, because I was not a permanent resident then. So it's like your life is shaky. If he says go now, no, I won't give it to you. I don't have anything to say. I have to do appeal, I have to go and see somebody, I have to pull some strings, I got to do all kinds of things to see whether I will still be allowed to stay here. And now, if they like, they should come. I'll show them that I stack Creolese too. Yeah, I Creolese too. Yeah, if you like, bring yourself. Yeah. I am a true Guyanese. Anybody who meets me and says, you are not from here. I said, so where am I from? People are so bold to say, you are not from here. So I said, so where am I from? Is it already on my face that you are not from here, you are from here? They said, no, you have an accent. I said, and so what? I born and grow abroad, but I is Guyanese. I come from Queenstown in Essequibo. I'm Essequibian. I'll take you to my father's home right there in Essequibo, you see. I don't know how many of you know Queenstown, Essequibo. There's a place called Queenstown in Essequibo. Yeah. Don't let people. Other people say, "Oh, you speak like an African." I said, "But I'm black. All black people come from Africa." I don't allow people to tell me their business. So, no. So you talk like a Nigerian. I said, "Nigerian? You serious? Don't you hear Nigerians speak on the TV? Do they speak better English like I'm speaking?" No. You don't know. What do you mean by Nigeria? I said, no. Stop guessing. I is Guyanese. Yeah. Yeah. I can show him everything. He can start from anything he can ask, I'll show him. Yeah. Are you with me? So if you don't have the full residence in a place, you don't, even your life there, you live your life there in fear. If you go to America, I remember when we used to live in Europe, when you see a policeman, you run. The police, the Dutch police, had to send people to Ghana to study us. Because people get arrested just by running away from the police. So then they ask them, "Why are you running away?" Then they got to understand that us in my country, when you see police, you panic. Because when you see police coming towards you, you think that you have done something wrong. And of course, you also don't have the residence permit. So you know that you are into some illegal something. So once you see the police, you are wondering whether they know that you don't have the permit here. So when you see them, the way you behave alone, it makes them come to you and say, you know, ask you one or two questions. And if they find something on you, that's it. I remember one day my job in Europe took me to Austria, to Vienna. And when I got to the Vienna airport, I got out and I think when I got out, I was looking for immigration, passport control to go out. So I was just walking around. Then all of a sudden somebody came to me and said, good afternoon. And he showed me his ID and he asked me, where am I going? So where am I going? I'm going to Vienna. Then he said, this is not the way to go to Vienna. This is not the exit. Can I see your passport? I showed him. I said, no, that's the exit, this way. I realized that when I took the wrong turn at the airport, they saw me on the monitor. So they released somebody to come and check me out. When you are not a permanent resident of a place, your life is very different, you know. I can remember I told one of my shepherds who didn't have a staying permit in Holland. I was saying that, you know what, we want to start branches. And I pointed to him and said, you know what, I want you to go to this town and start a branch. He fixed himself in his chair and he asked me a question. He said, Reverend, if I go and start a church there and the police arrest me and takes me back to Ghana, will you buy a ticket and bring me back? I was shocked. Because I thought all of us love God and we're trying to die for Jesus. No, because he doesn't have a stay permit. So even in his activities, even for God, he's very careful. But you look at us. How we are so comfortable here on earth. How we want to have all the things that the world has to offer. And yet we call ourselves citizens of heaven. How can you be a heavenly citizen, but you love the earth and you want to be here and enjoy yourself here? By the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yes, we wept. When we remembered Zion. Think about this. This is a psalm. This is the song that the Jews, the Hebrews, the Israelites were singing. They were taken captive to a place called Babylon. And when they sat by the rivers of Babylon, and the time they were reflecting, and the Bible says that they wept. They wept when they were in Babylon, when they remembered Zion. Zion was the city of David. Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is the place that God chose to place the ark of God. God said, I am choosing only one place on earth to put my name there, and that is Zion. That's Jerusalem. So when they disobeyed God and they became very disobedient, God allowed their enemies to conquer them, to overtake them, and take them as slaves to Babylon. Now when they were in Babylon, because they were not permanent residents in Babylon, they remembered Zion. Verse 2. He said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know harp? You know harp? That was what David used to play. He used to play for Saul so that, you know, his the demons will go. He said, our harps, our keyboards, our clarinets, our bass guitars and our lead guitars and our drums, we couldn't even use it. I mean, the edge, because you make music when you are merry. You make music when you are happy. And he says, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Then he goes on to say, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Are you following? How can you ask me such a difficult thing that here on earth I should build a house
Look at us. We rush to the banks to borrow money to build a house here. When the Bible is explaining to us that when some people were taken captive to a land that wasn't their own, they could not even make music. Then to even go and look for a land to build a house. So something is wrong with us Christians. I said something is wrong with us Christians. Because heaven is not on our mind. When you sing songs about heaven and the life after death, people think that you want to die. I mean, is he going to die? Why is he talking too much about life after death? Because that's what is also happens. Sometimes when people speak a lot about the afterlife, you realize after a while they die. And it was, listen to his message. When Miles Monroe died, he was talking about you must empty yourself and finish something. People used to play those messages back to prove that he was on his way out. Because we don't think about heaven. But that is changing in the name of Jesus. I said that idea, that mindset is changing in the name of Jesus. God wants us to really think about heaven. Hey, all your problems will be solved. Yeah. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? He goes on to say, Psalm 137 is a very important scripture. He says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, O heaven, let my right hand. That's why I said, you don't do everything. You don't do things with your left hand when you have to use your right hand. He says that, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. 99%, if I'm right, of the people who are alive are right-handed. So you use your right hand for most important things. Your left hand is for things that are not so important. So if you are shaking a pastor, if you come to me and I'm shaking you, you don't bring your left hand. It's your weakest hand. It's your less preferred hand. And you don't use that for important things because it will fail you. If you were to eat, you don't eat with your left hand, you eat with your right hand. Because the strength and honor, it's in your right hand. That's why when you go to the toilet, you don't clean your buttocks with your right hand. You should learn how to use your left hand. Your left can do it also. It's not just, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not about whether you wash it or not. It's about the essence, the essence of what do you use this for? What do you use that for? You will never drink the water in your toilet bowl, even though it's also water. Why? It's the same water. Because the whole idea about toilet water closet, the water alone, if it's clean, you will never drink it, no matter how thirsty you are. You don't even think about that. Even the pipe, normal pipe water, people don't want to drink. So it's more of the functions. So the Bible, that's why Jesus is seated on the right-hand side of God, not on the left-hand side of God. So you have to know what left is and what right is and what they signify. And that's why your wife does not sit on your right, she sits on your left. Yeah, your wife cannot sit on your right. Your wife is not your right-hand man. When we say, this is my right-hand man, it's not your right-hand woman. Raphael, are you sitting correctly? Pastor Ralph's wife is sitting on his left. Because a man rules with his right hand. So the wife sits next or is by the man whilst the man is ruling. So if you are sitting on my right, it means that you are the one, what should I, so if I hold you like this, which hand do I use to rule? Forgive. Yeah, no. You have to know what we call coordination. That's how come sometimes, even music, when we play music, some people don't know how to dance. You are. They don't go with the beat. They don't know how to coordinate themselves. It's like that. Is somebody listening to me tonight? Your wife is never on your right. It's on your left. Because a man rules with his right hand. The Lord bless you. No, because if she's sitting on your right, you see, if you are dealing with people, if a ruler has his right hand occupied, he can't deal with people on the left. It doesn't. This is not the flowing hand, right? So this rather should be the one that's occupied. This is the one. You when you want to slap somebody, you slap with your left. You bring the one that can do the job. Say whack. Yeah. You want a person to feel your wrath. Yeah, when you're giving people something, you do it from the hand that represents strength and honor. Because you don't want weak things to represent you. You don't want things that are not worthy, things that are not nice to show themselves. You want to be represented in the right way. Is that right? Anytime you learn something. So many of us, because we our forefathers and all of that, they've gone. The tradition was not passed on. I think was an old lady who used to be in our church who told me. She said, when I spoke about this thing very early, many years ago, and she said, Reverend, you have explained this thing to me. She said, when they were growing up as kids, she's over 50 now. She said, my mother used to beat us when we used our left hand. But we never understood. Just say you do something and they beat you, you don't know why they beat you. No explanation. But so you can't use your left. Why can I not use my left? You can't use your left because your right hand is the most honorable hand. When you come to the altar, I don't lay my left hand on you. Hardly would I lay my left hand on somebody. It's all right. So let me pray for you. You pray for on your right hand and say, let me pray for you. Why this one? It's all right. That's the strength. So he says that if I forget thee, if I forget heaven, if I forget the place that I so long to be, the place that I belong, the Bible says, if I forget that place, then let what my right hand is able to do, let my right hand not be able to do it again. It's almost as if you are cursing yourself, because if your right hand forgets what it can do, then you don't even have a hand anymore. That's why the right hand is there. Otherwise, you say, let my left hand. Because the left hand is not what, if your left, what does your left hand do? The right hand is the most important hand. To say, if I forget heaven, can we say that? That if we forget heaven, may I die. But look at us on a daily basis. We are looking for the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The Bible says it is not of the Father. Look at that. I mean, we always want to compete with one another. You want to be bigger than one another. You want to be highly educated than one another. You want to have the best of things than the other. When heaven is there waiting for us. Let my right hand forget their cunning. We are talking about people who left. And that's what has happened to us. The grace, the environment where God created us into, the Garden of Eden, we lost it. He came, died on the cross. He's restoring us back to that same place. Yet. You see, that is why, Prince, some of us don't agree with pastors who go into secular things with this mindset. Because if they don't understand it, they'll say, oh, this guy is a fanatic. But if you're a pastor, you're supposed to teach the people about where we are going. We are going Heaven knows where we are going. We know we will. Now, so if you now join forces with those who are trying to make this world, this temporal place, a better place, then you have lost focus of where you are, where you belong, where you have lost focus. That is our mindset. That's why we don't go into politics. It's not an arena for us. Because if I'm going to make Guyana a better place, then I must as well stay right here. So then when I get to heaven, then God will say what? Well done for making Guyana a better place. Which place should you make a better place? Which place should you promote as a Christian and as which place? You ask, answer the question yourself. Which place should you promote as a Christian? Which place? Yeah, even if you are not the pastor, me who is leading you, which place should you think I should promote? Which place should I spend my time and my energy talking about? Is it not Jerusalem? Verse 6. He said, if I do not remember thee, that's Jerusalem, that's heaven. He said, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. It means that I turn dumb. Serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Jerusalem. This is just a place where God chose to call Zion. The place where Bob Marley said, Zion train is coming our way. All people get on board. That place where even a Rastafarian, a weed smoker, is imagining and dreaming and putting it in a song. The place is what they have left. They are saying that if I forget that peaceful place, that honorable place, that was a place here on earth. But it was such a place because God chose to put his name there. So wherever God's name is, it's a very wonderful place. Like my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not heaven above the chiefest, the most important of things that makes me happy. It's a routine. You're born, you go to school, you finish school, you get a job. You buy a car, you build a house, you marry. Tell me what next? Or migrate to America or Canada and come and show off when it's 58 golden jubilee in Guyana. Tell me, this is all. Then what happens after that? It's the same thing. In fact, human beings are too mumble. We are one of the most pitiful animals on earth. It's just one thing. Grow up, job, husband, children, house, care. What else? Then when you die, you expect to go to a better place. No, you spend your time and your energy trying to get things here on earth. So why do you expect something better when you die? Then you should live forever here.
Heaven is a place designed and built by God for Christians. It's a place designed by God. God has designed heaven. He's building heaven for Christians. Number 2 to 9. The redeemed of all nations assemble in heaven. That is our assembly point. In good business places, when there's any fire or any emergency, there's a point where you assemble. Do we have that around here? If you work in a good place, you have an assembly point. In case of fire, in case of an emergency, there's a point where you meet. When I was in British Virgin Islands, they have assembly points on top of the mountains for hurricanes and floods and these things. So anytime you're going on a hill, you see the market. Some master point or something like that, they write. So you have to go up because if there's any hurricane, they want you to go as high as possible. If there's any flood, if the sea now begins to tsunami, you have to try and find yourself. I think it's a tsunami something, a tsunami point, gathering point or something they have. Yeah, you have to find yourself at one of the highest places.
Otherwise, the water will move you. It will take you back into the sea. And you can take your house with you when you're going back into the sea. That's where a guy, a folklore Ghanaian musician, he, like I said, you know, the songs that we were used to in the country that I was born in were songs about life. But here, songs about breaking your back. Songs about papa hungry, mama hungry. Wine on me, all kinds of fantastic things people say. This guy composed a song, and he said that one day they interviewed him with something, something, and they were asking about his, well, you are not rich, you're making songs, you're not rich, and all of that. He said, oh, he doesn't care. When he dies, and if his family doesn't want him, they should leave him. The way he was think in the room, they themselves will come and take him and get him somewhere. Yeah. He says, I don't have anything, so when I, well, nobody will mind me. He said, when I die, they'll bury me. They'll find a place to put me. He said, don't worry about that. And it's true. Because you leave him for about 2-3 days. You yourself will organize a nice place for him to go. The redeemed of all nations assemble in heaven. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. So think about heaven. Dream about heaven. Let heaven be part of your plans. Don't just let money and school and jobs and earthly things be. No, no. Let heaven also occupy, in fact, let heaven occupy the most important seat in your heart. Yeah, heaven. Heaven. Otherwise, you'll be a very strange Christian. After this, John said, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Innumerable of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, this is the quotation you can give to the Jehovah's Witness when they come to you and tell you that heaven is for only 144,000 people. No, the Bible says that, and after this, the 144 actually is just a verse 8 or verse 7, about right in the same chapter. But he said, after that also, he beheld and lo, a great multitude. So why is God making a very big and nice place for only 144,000 people? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. That right here, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. When that watchtower people come to you and tell you that you don't go to heaven, you will come on earth and it's part. Don't worry with them. Jesus said that where I am, there you will also be with me. And it's not only for the disciples, for his people. Heaven is not an island that only 144,000 people can fit. But the redeemed from all nations. You see, God is expecting the saved Christians from America, North America, from South America, from Asia, from the Caribbean, from Africa, from Europe, from all the corners of this world to be gathered into a place where he's going to be with us. So the redeemed, it's only the redeemed, the saved, the Christian, the believing. Those people are going to be gathered in heaven. It's a place for the redeemed. The redeemed of all nations are going to assemble in heaven. And finally for tonight, there are rooms for all believers. In heaven, there are rooms for all believers. Some of you are sharing toilets here on earth. And I mean, I'm not proud to say that you may probably share toilet for the rest of your life also,
But in heaven, God is prepared. Jesus is preparing a room for you. You will have your own toilet, if there should be a toilet in heaven. Yeah.
John chapter 14. You must look forward to that. You must look forward to a place where there will not be any sickness. You must look forward to a place where you don't have to get up and go to work. You must look forward to a place where there will be joy all the time. Look at how seasonally you get depressed. Seasonally you get frustrated. Seasonally you get all kind of, well, do you want to be here? Even if they say be here, you can't be here forever. Because the sin that came through Adam and Eve has made us corruptible. You see, one thing that we may probably not be aware or may not know is that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we actually put on what we call corruptible. That's how come our bodies and everything around us deteriorates. That's how we grow old. It's gone. You can see yourself. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you realize that those of you who are young, you think you'll be like this forever. You wait and see. Your mother was like you some time ago. Even more beautiful than you. Yeah. It's a CSD. Current state delusion. Yeah. Now you wait and see. Yeah. Very soon, the powder you use for your face, you have to use more. Yeah. Or you have to combine it with something so you can hide some of the things that have started coming on your face. Yeah. Yeah. First foundation. Yeah. Yeah. You look at an older woman, a time comes where you have to cut your hair. Because a time will come, this your hair, it will be tired, it will be fed up. The chemicals, the perming, all the trouble. It will say that, you know what, it will not grow anymore. Have you ever seen any older person who has long hair before? It's corruption. Now you have to find a lawyer. A lawyer to cover your boycott. A lawyer to cover your head that you're not looking like a bye. You need a lawyer. You need a wig as a lawyer. Yeah. Some of you are not old, but wig is what is actually helping you. You don't have a hope at all. There's no hope for you. If at this young age, wig is what is fighting for you. Wig is what is fighting in the court for you. Wig is what is fighting beauty for you here at this your age. Oh, the corruption has started already for you. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. At this age, if you don't have makeup, we can't choose you. Hey, corruption, it has come to your house. Very, very early. But I thank God that there's a place where there will be no corruption. A place where we will not grow old. A place where we will not grow old. A place where age is not around. There's no age. That's the age. Yeah. A place where if you are blind, you can see. There is no corruption. There is no death. There's no limitation in the place where God is preparing for us. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Not apartments. Not rooms. Not bottom flat. Not bottom house. Not top flat. Not 10 key, 10 padlock, and 10 whatever. Mansions. Do you know what a mansion is? Many of us don't know what a mansion is. Yeah. Yeah. You see, a mansion, it is in babies that I see a place and I say it's like a mansion. You see, a mansion is when you enter the yard, you drive like almost like a mile before you get to the house. Yeah, that's a mansion. From the house to the gate, you need a vehicle. And as you are driving,
you see trees, you see flowers, you see streams, you see water, you see things, you see horses, you see all kinds of things. When you get to the house, the gate of the house alone, the door to the house alone, you get Basidi. And when you enter, and then you look around, you don't know which to tell. The room is almost like a football field. The bed, you can roll, you will not fall down. That's a mansion. Not them, not... Hey, Prince, you come and preach, okay? No, not them range houses where... We are praising Forbes Burnham that he's built rich houses. Let's praise God for building mansions for us in heaven. It's heaven. Yeah, look at the rich house that we live in, that we are so pompous and proud. You can't have privacy. When you are talking in your room, the net, they are listening to you. No, that will be like, I don't know what that should be. In a mansion, that does not exist. That range houses is even smaller for a toilet in a mansion. Yeah. You see how people are struggling for something small here on earth. When Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you in the mansions that my Father has. The mansions. Look at our problems. Some of you girls, when a boy takes you to their one room in their house, you don't want to go. When you're going, you go with a bag, with your panties, with your brassiere, you ain't going nowhere. Some little small bed you're going to sleep on. Don't you want the mansion that Jesus is preparing for you? What does verse 3 say? It says what? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is not for the disciples. This is not for Peter, James, and John. Don't let the watchtower people deceive you that Jesus is going to be somewhere and we will be with animals in paradise. No, 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 no. There's nothing like paradise. Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. But Jesus didn't, if paradise was good, he would have stayed in paradise. He didn't stay in paradise. Do you realize that? Even the paradise that Jesus promised the thief, Jesus didn't stay in paradise. He left the thief there, but he came out. Because that's not the final place of Christians. You get it? Otherwise, then the thief will also, why did Jesus, if you're going to paradise, you take the thief with you, then why do you come back? So then why are you going back to paradise? No. The Bible says Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. That's also another place. It's one of the mansions in heaven. It's one of the areas in heaven. It's like, this place is our boy's town. This place is Charlestown. There are places with mansions. I remember somebody said it some time ago that they went to heaven and the angel took the person around showing them the houses, big, huge houses. And then there was this very big house. And he saw, and he was affected by the house. And he asked the angel, whose house is this? And I heard the angel told the guy, this house is for T.L. Osborne. One of the greatest evangelists ever lived. That was his house.
Your house is being prepared for you. Your mansion is being prepared for you in the name of Jesus.
So please, let us stop. Let us stop the little while we are here trying to prepare to take off. Let us not look like we are getting settled. You get it? Because somebody who is just here temporarily, the mindset is different. It looks as if we are buying into the mindset of people who are earthly. And we have to watch it. Otherwise, when Jesus even comes, you look at him and say, you is who? Jesus?
You will have even forgotten that somebody is called Jesus who is coming back for us. That is what we are getting into. The world is becoming a very posh place to stay. There's a movie we watched some time ago. Was it Angels? Something, Angels Left. Some Angels movie we watched many years ago. Some Angels. City of Angels. Some angels who came down on earth and then they realized that they were beautiful girls. They didn't want to go back to heaven. Yeah, it's in the Bible too, the Nephilims. Yeah, angels come down, they see beer, they see Guinness, they see whiskey, they see Johnny Walker. They say, what? We don't have these things in heaven. Let me try and see how it feels. Then when they get drunk, they say, Nana, I'm going nowhere. I like to stay here. There are too many things here that are trying to take our minds off where we belong, home. Look at what we built here, even on earth. For people who don't have a place, we build shelters. And we describe people as homeless. Shelters. We must also have shelters. We must call, even if you build a big house, you must call it a shelter. Don't say, oh, have you seen my house? Don't compare it. You see, it's an insult to even want to compare it to what God has in store for you. Then you might as well don't take what God is doing for you, because you prefer this one here. So even if you are blessed and you build a big house, you are blessed, you drive a car. Yes, this is car. This is a bicycle I'm using. This is an extra machine that just to take me to places faster. We should not let, Bible says we must be in this world, but we must not be of this world. We are not people who belong here. So anything that comes our way, our mind and our hearts must still be set on things above. Is it Colossians chapter 3? Give me Colossians chapter 3. Let me finish this preaching. Colossians chapter 3. You mean the devil is making me vex tonight. Colossians chapter 3, sweetie. God is not happy that we don't even want to be with him. Look, I've been coming to church. We struggle to come to his presence in a church. So heaven is like some heaven. Oh, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in heaven. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Have you seen it before? Have you been to heaven before? People ask foolish questions. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. Jesus does not lie. If you then are Christians, you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Beneath. Here on earth. Things, current things that are above. You wake up in the morning, what are you studying? You're studying things here on earth. How are you going to get money? How are you going to eat? If you don't eat, it's a blessing. You die, you go to heaven faster. We have made feeding people who are hungry a major priority here on earth. When you eat food, it just goes into your stomach, it gets digested, and then it comes out. It comes out as a very smelly something. Is that what we want to spend our time doing here on earth? Feeding people. You see, let me take this opportunity and just make this statement. When it comes to Mother's Day and Father's Day and all of that, you see, some churches will do other things. We would prefer to give you something that will help your journey here, to accelerate your journey here to heaven. We don't like to give things. Some people give people flowers and all of that. Flowers, what do you do with flowers? No, we must point you towards heaven. So we give you books that you read to let your mind be on God, to be on Christ, and how to live your life well. We have books on sale. We have so many things around to help you maintain your tempo and your temperature so that your mind will be above, not here on earth. Yeah. Somebody left the church. They have come back. I saw them the other day in church. They said they left this church because the lighthouse doesn't give you money to do anything. They said there's another church, I won't mention the name, they give you money to start business. Like how we have some small business people around here, we give them a little loan and say, you know, Sister Jackie, take and do your little juice and drink business. And then, you know, when you turn it over, then later you pay it. When we do that, wouldn't you be happy? Yeah, that, sweetie. No, the church has become iPad. Ministry of Business.
So when people come to the church, they want what the church can do for them in terms of ethnic things. If we were to give Mother's Day, Father's Day, we were to give you a nice beauty set of some, let's say, bathing soap and some shampoo and something to the ladies, you see how they say, oh, Lighthouse Chapel International. Oh, it's me church. It's me church. Because we gave you something to just wash your skin away. Oh, we give you a book. Daughter, you can make it. You look at it and say, what is this? So because of that, some people prefer some other churches to the church that will help you to focus on heaven. Because our minds are in Jerusalem. We have forgotten about Jerusalem. Look at how we're punishing here on earth. You don't want a quick transition? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. You see the hand again. You see the hand again. Those who don't understand, Prince, put on your glasses and look at it carefully. Sitteth on the right hand of God. Because Jesus is the real deal. I said, Jesus is the real deal. I said, Jesus is the real deal. Stand to your feet, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I pray that God will give you visions of heaven. I prophesy and I declare over your life that very soon, some of you will come and share testimonies of God taking you to heaven. I declare that over your life tonight in the name of Jesus. Because he says he confirms his word also. Father, confirm your word to us. Confirm your word with visions and dreams about heaven. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going. We know we will. We will gather. Heaven knows how we will gather. We know we will. One more time. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going. We know we will. We will gather. Heaven knows how we will gather. We know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get that. Heaven knows how we will get there. We know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there. Heaven knows how we will get there. We are going. Heaven knows where we are going. We know we will. We will get there. Heaven knows how we will gather. We know we will. It will be hard, we know, and the road will be muddy and rough, but we'll get there.
Heaven knows how we will gather. We know.
Father, tonight, thank you for heaven. Thank you for the rooms, the mansions, the places that you are preparing for us. Father, eye has not seen nor ear heard what the Bible says you have in store for us. Lord, we dream, we imagine, we contemplate, we wonder, we meditate on these words, and we don't know what you expect, but we know that something great, something wonderful, something awesome is in store for us after our days here on this earth. And we look towards that place. Just like the Jews said that by the rivers of Babylon, there they sat down and wept when they remembered the city of David called Zion. May our minds be filled with heaven. May we have dreams and visions about heaven. May heaven be part of our language. May we even seem like strangers and talk like strangers here on earth. Bible says, by faith, Abraham even dwelt in tents. For he looked for a city whose foundation and builder is God. Let that be our faith also. Let us be like our father Abraham as we sojourn, as we pilgrim through this world and through this life. Thank you for the heavenly vision, and thank you for arousing that interest in us to want to be with you forever and ever. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name. I mean, you're here tonight, you're not saved. If you die right now, you go to hell if you're not saved. You want to change that tonight. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I don't want to go to hell, Pastor, when I die. If you're here like that, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed, you want to lift up your right hand far above your head, and I'll pray with you. So, Pastor, I want to go to heaven when I die. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Don't be shy about it. Be very bold. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me in the front. I want to pray with you. Come. If you lifted up your hand, come. Come to me. Clap for them as they come. Come, ladies.
Lead me to
come. Clap for them as they come. There's a gentleman also. Oh, clap for them. Welcome them. God bless you. God bless you. Two ladies and a gentleman. God bless you, sir.
Bring me home myself.
I belong.
Bless you. Is that not joy?
Lead wow.
Close your eyes with me. It takes a simple prayer. Your life will never be the same again. It's even as we talk about heaven, we don't even know when we're going to die. It's not a guarantee. These days, with all the corruption in this world, that the 70 and 10 is our portion. We just believe, we just hope by grace that indeed 70 years and beyond will be our portion. But it's not guaranteed. Should that happen to you tomorrow, where would you go? You are here, you have not decided, you have not given your heart to Jesus. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Walk quickly to the front before we pray. You don't want to die and go to hell. Now, those of us here in front in the church, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Let this prayer be from the bottom of your heart. Make it your own prayer. Your life will never be the same again. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe He died for me. And I believe God raised him from the dead. I open my heart and I invite Jesus Christ to come and stay in my heart, to be my master and my savior. From tonight, I know and I believe that I'm born again. I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life. And I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these ones, oh God, they've come forward to give their hearts and their lives to you. I pray, oh God, that this mark you've marked them today will not be lost. Let them work out their own salvation with fear and with trembling. May the yokes of the enemy be far away from them. May they walk on the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And may they indeed make it to heaven. Thank you, Father, for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.